brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are for yet another suds segment, where we feel good beer is best when it's paired with, well, really bad accents and long belches.
I know we've got the bad accents set up for
that. Yes, we do.
Yes, spanning the country for the worst accents ever, here we are. I am your hostess, Good Old Gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today is Good Old Boy Kendall.
Oh, I'm excited to be here today.
Good Old Boy Mike.
I thought this was a drive-through lane to check the prostate.
See.
And you bend over, and you bend over, and you bend over.
Wow.
It's a bend over show.
I think he's got a head start on us today.
Yeah. He does. He's been prepping for a while.
Mike was pre-game.
I was inhaling first.
Oh my gosh. Good old boy Sean, welcome back to the table.
It is great to be back and great to be with y'all.
Yeah, really good to have you here.
It's been a while. It's been a hot minute. Yeah.
Mike makes him bend over. He's not coming back.
There's that.
It depends on how he bends me over.
Oh,
you asked what was the pool loop for? So wow. We will talk about this later.
Oh my gosh! Good old boy Dave. Hi.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Okay, quick question for everyone here at the table. Who likes it in the can? Anybody?
Kendall does.
Yeah, sure. It's fresher.
It's always good to point to a friend in close proximity when somebody floats that question.
Good old boy Dave, I know you do.
I think Mike's already opened the whole conversation.
Is this with lube or is it without the lube? It's a family beer show.
We're talking about beer today, right?
Well, yeah. What do you think I was talking about? Like, ew. Anyways, I think it is fair to say that Germany knows a thing or two about making beer, right? Wouldn't you all agree?
Yes.
Sort of.
I mean, they may have kind of defined exactly what beer is a few years ago.
Wow. That's
what it is not.
Indeed.
That's a whole different topic.
Not a lot of lactose fruited sours in Germany, I don't think.
No, hopefully not. And so with all that time it spends in shipments, sitting in an importer's warehouse, then in a distributor's warehouse, then in a store, all before you can grab it off the shelf to take it home, the flavor and aroma can really suffer. Cans don't solve all of beer's packaging problems, but they can get it, or what?
But they can help.
But they can help. Is that what that's supposed to say?
All right, listen, you try writing this when you're drunk.
So good old boy Dave was looking around at the beer store a few days ago, and he picked up 6 random German beers for us to try. Good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us the lineup of these random 6 German beers?
I'd be delighted to. The German canned beers we'll be trying today are Astra Urtep, a 4.9 Pilsner from the Carlsberg Group in Hamburg. The Benediktiner Hell, a 5% Helles Lager from the Klosterbrau Etal in Etal, Germany. The Einbecker Brauerin, a 4.9% Pilsner Einbecker Brewery in Einbeck. The Veltins, a 4.8% Pilsner from the Brauerei CAE Veltins in Mecht, Grevenstein, Germany. The Gaffel, a 4.8 Kolsch from Gaffel, Becker & Company in Cologne.
That place smells great.
Especially during Carnival.
Yes.
And finally, Koenig, a 4.9% Pilsner from the Koenig Brewery in Duisburg.
Thanks.
I have no idea if those words are correct. I was just winging it.
I think a lot of those words were right.
I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. Thanks, Kendall. Okay, go to my mic. The moment we're all waiting for. Please give us the Suds ratings. And how is that accent these days?
And it's very good indeed. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with the Suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. And number one, I don't know how to say a German one. That sucks.
Ein.
Thank you very much. It was not on Sesame Street for me to learn German numbers. That sucks. Give me anything but an inferior American automobile. Deuce? Is that how you say it in German?
Zwei.
Thank you. Und zwei, three. Let's see. Was that a joke, or should I know? I'm German.
Wow. I bet this is hilarious in German.
What's a three?
Drei.
Drei. Und what is a ein Eisgebot? Was it a SA4?
Unintelligible in all
unintelligible.
Languages. Fear.
Fear. Ah, the body should not make the sound after you eat the bratwurst. Sven?
Fumpf.
Fumpf. Fumpf! Listen to the hang timer. Give me another Jäger bomb.
I guess it helps when you scream through half of it as well. Yeah.
Well, German sounds better when it's screamed.
At least Dave had the assist, you know, so I can throw my voice, but I'm just ignorant in the actual, you know, numbers.
Two years of high school German paid off.
Right. Hey,
everyone was like, why didn't you take Spanish?
I only flunked Spanish one and
this
two.
This is why.
And see, I took Spanish and really am kicking myself for not taking German.
There you go.
Do you think you would make better beer if you had stayed in the German class?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it's more. I'd have a much better understanding, I think, of what the Germans are trying to do.
So you're saying that your thought process, you would have at least been thinking German in some part of brewing process.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
But you know, won't I screwed up this yeast again?
And the Mexican brewing is based heavily in German.
Yeah, German and Austrian.
Brewing tradition. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I think you're fine either way. Nail again. I wish the lager. You know. Just that, you know,
I have no idea what he's saying.
Yeah, neither do I. So just, you know,
there's gonna be a buttload of Germans going, I don't know what's happening.
Maybe that would be an interesting precursor of actually becoming a brewer, is that you actually have to learn some fundamental aspects of German. I can almost hear like half the brewers dropping out, going, "No, I'm good."
I do know
I can screw this up in English or in German. So,
and I'm not sure if it's I think through the Siebel Institute they do a German internship.
Yeah, like over in Domens, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah. Where it's the Domens really, Institute? I don't know if that's
really
in,
cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the oldest brewing school in the U.S. as well. There you go. So,
well, and it kind of makes
Once
sense.
Welcome to the school.
Because in medical school you have to know a bit of Latin. You know, to be able to learn medical terms.
Well, makes sense. I mean, you have to do the same thing to go to law school because, you know, actually all of the common laws were actually written in Latin. So that's the reason why.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I thought you just had to learn how to speak double talk.
No, you just have to know how to say it depends in like five different languages.
I think that comes naturally to lawyers.
Retainer fee. Yeah, right.
You have to learn how to speak out
No,
your
it
butt.
Really is $500 an hour. That's all you have to say, you know, in any language.
Okay. Well, let's get on to those beers.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Jawohl.
Mike's not ready.
Oh, he's ready.
Wouldn't I very ready?
Yes.
Which is the first one?
The first one that we were going to talk about is Astra.
Ertip.
Yep. Clocking in at 4.9%. It is a German Pilsner, well balanced with the smooth bitterness and Original since 1909, brewed with love in the heart of Hamburg.
So a little bit about our process we're using today, because we have different process for different beers. We have not pre-tasted these beers. No. So we are tasting them on the fly. You're hearing our live tasting notes and our live ratings. So, but this is not blind. So we do know what we're tasting. So at least Dave is not like pouring.
We're not blind drunk until the second show.
He's not poured stuff from, you know, Yugoslavia and going, guess what German beers you got?
Well, yeah. Not yet.
First impression is it's kind of watery and a bit weak. You know, there's not a lot of body around this.
Let's say very not at all. It's very malt forward in that the Pilsner malt really comes through.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. For a Pilsner, you really get a lot of that malt. I usually expect a little more hop bite up front.
Same here.
Then it kind of just washes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, 4.9%. I mean, this is definitely meant
tastes
to be.
Tastes more like 1.9%.
It's a little thin.
Yeah, a little thin, but I mean.
It's not bad. Know. It'd be decent on a hot day.
Be good with a hamburger. Let's get it because it's from Hamburg.
Yeah.
What?
I guess. Come on. You're funny. You're funny.
Nerd!
Well, sure.
Well, this is very weak.
It's not bad, but I mean, for super hot summer in a can as you're going in a canoe down the river,
it's definitely
why
got
not?
That lawnmower beer kind of quality about
yep.
it.
Yeah.
Driving 180 sure. down the Autobahn.
Oh, well, yeah.
The question is would you want to be going down the river with a number of these cans, or is this just like a one and done?
What it makes me wonder, too, if some of these other smaller breweries we haven't heard of as much are going to make a little different beer, because this is Carlsberg. I mean, they're a massive
brewer. They are, and it's Danish multinational conglomerate. Yeah. Like, they make the Elephant.
Yeah. Oh, it's like almost macro beer.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back for a count in just a minute.
Is this Germany's Budweiser? We'll talk more after we're back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode, we're discussing some German beers in a can.
And yes, we are talking German beers.
This country's eons old, kids. That's centuries to you and me.
Exactly. So the first beer that we were discussing was from Hamburg, and it was the Astra Urtip, the 4.9% Pilsner. We are rating that beer a 3. And
kind of generous.
Yeah. And now we're going to move to a Bitburger Group beer, the Benedictiner Hell.
Apparently this brewed in an abbey, right? Or something. Some kind of thing.
Some kind of thing?
Yeah. It's a cluster brower. It's either a cluster or a cloister. So,
well, we're about to find out.
Yeah. Cluster Brewery from Ettal, Germany. Typical Bavarian-style lager that's golden yellow in color with a pleasant malty sweetness balanced by a little bit of dryness.
Definitely malt forward.
Mm.
Now, this one's got some stuff in it.
This has a lot more body.
I love it. But I am more of a Helles guy than a Pilsner guy. You give me a good Helles. I mean, I've always said if there's only one beer I could drink, it would probably be a Helles-style beer.
Huh. So, this is right on spot for style. Because it has that sweet pop finish, mm-hmm. and but yet it's still incredibly tight and crispy, you know, kind of up front. So I like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm enjoying this quite a bit.
Yeah,
I think Bitburger they're not as big as Carlsberg. I think they're just in Germany, but they're they have different brewery names and stuff.
They have a big portfolio. They have the Bitburger, the Kostritzer, the Koenig Pilsner, the Lischer Kraftwerk, and then the Benedictiner beers too. So there's quite a variety and a big portfolio that they have. Yeah, this is just really easy drinking. I mean, maybe it's a little bit more than Lawnmower, but this is like everyday stuff.
It is an everyday beer. It's Kendall, delicious.
This is good pizza beer.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Kendall beer or right tacos. Around his Lawnmower.
You need a picture of this. Yeah, it's kind of, so the front end of this taste profile is you get all that malt, you know, kind of right off the back or right off the front. It's very floral, you know, kind of right up front. In the middle, you get the hop, and what an incredible balance, you know, off this. Sean's shaking his head vehemently. So that's a tough thing to pull off, to get the hops in the middle, not up front, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And or not have them linger.
But then, you know, they're really, you know, true to style, because it finishes out like a Helles. I mean, you get this, you know, very pleasing, you know, simple, you know, sweet finish coming off the back end. So, well constructed, great taste profile. I mean, if this is not in the BJCP under the reference stand for Helles, I would offer this up and say, yeah, that would be, you know, a good reference standard for a great German ale all day long.
Hey. I agree. The finish is so clean, which makes this a perfect food beer and food beer, especially for food. It's got a lot of flavor and a lot of punch. Like you said, pizza, like pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
This thing's going to cleanse the palate, and it's just going to keep going.
You know, even a spaghetti dish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
On a good beer, go this to hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think the only thing I would say is they need to change the ordering process, because you need to order two pitchers, not one of this.
Two for Tuesdays.
True. True. Well, we will be reading the Benedictiner Helles from Ettal, Germany, A4.
Good job, Ettal. Way to do it. Way to make it happen.
Moving on, we're going to go to the Einbecker. This is a 4.9% Pilsner from Einbeck, Germany, for those of you just...
Und Einbeck.
Yeah.
Did we open up the second can?
Sekos and Einbeck, very nice.
The
never mind.
Characteristic bitter taste, unique and perfectly matured, the perfect composition of the best hops and selected fine malts bring a classic bitter character to the Einbecker.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, this is really refreshing.
There's that bitterness I was looking for on the first Pilsner.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got that. The Pilsner mold is definitely coming through, but there's a nice hop balance to it that really just...
Man, I got Einbecker.
For those playing along at home, Dave has just cracked open a can of the Einbecker and has made a complete mess.
I did it hit the wall? Kendall sabotaged me. I saw him grab it and shake it, and I didn't think he...
I only shook it a few times.
I only brought the can that you should shake.
That beer just blitzkrieged me right in my lap.
So, Sean, when you're coming up against this style of beer, do you just charge into it and go, I have a recipe, I'm just going to follow it? Or do you, I mean, these simple beers are just so easy to screw up. I mean,
that's
I would be hyperventilating making a Pilsner. I would be, I've tasted so many good ones. I'm like, crap, there's no way I'm going to stand up to anything this good.
I mean, that's always the challenge for a brewer is making a Pilsner and making it great, because every other brewer is going to judge you based on the Pilsner that you make. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and there's nowhere to hide.
And there's nowhere to hide.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the ultimate testament of a brewer is, can you make a good, clean lager and make it so that other brewers want to drink it? It's a challenge, and it's one of those. For me, I do a lot of research. Like when I came up with my Italian Pils recipe, big deep dive into what literature I could get my hands on, which there isn't much. Find out which breweries are doing it, hope for the best once you write that recipe.
I didn't even really know that Italian Pilsner was a thing.
So, yes and no. It's basically like a North German-style Pils that is dry-hopped. And then there's some arguments that the Germans are dry-hopping as well. But there is some, if I remember correctly, it's been a little while since I wrote the recipe, there is a little bit of caramel malt in there as well, which gives it some extra body and character.
Is
it
Peroni? Isn't that the...
No, actually, Peroni, that's just it. Most people think, oh, it's Italian-style Pils, must be like a Peroni. Peroni. It's not. It's and I'm Birra Birifico, I think, is is the originator of the style.
Oh.
So it's a small craft brewery in Italy that that came up with it. And the guy really likes North German style pills, and but he decided to add his own little twist on it. And you know, the big signature for that is, you know, you can do whatever you want with the dry hop, but Spalt hops are generally the preferred hops for dry hopping on Italian style pills.
It's a wonderful style. In fact, I just enjoyed a can of it a week or so ago that I got from good old boy Mike. He brought up on Italian pills from Ology in Florida.
Oh, I saw that one.
June and I made some a pasta dish, and I enjoyed it with that. It was spectacular.
Yeah, if you definitely want to drift back into our catalog and listen to the Ology show out of Tallahassee, I mean, they are really making some great beers. That was a great flight, great product roundup, and that was one of the. I don't believe that beer was on that show.
It was not.
No,
and
it wasn't.
You know, it really caught my attention, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because it would have stood up well even with the flight of, you know, pilsners we have today. I don't know if it would have held up well against this Einbecker, because I think this is a great classic, you know, pills. This is very crushable. What is this, 4.9? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in that same category of, you know, I don't want one pitcher, I want two of these. And it's just very approachable. The balance of the, you know, of the pilsner in this, and what few hops if anything are in this. I mean, it's
I don't need a pitcher, really, but just keep bringing me 1 liter steins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Please. The only thing you need to know is my cup is almost empty.
It's fantastic.
There's more near you.
Well, and it's, you know, that's the cool thing. It's like, it doesn't have to be some complex, you know, long list of ingredients, man. I mean, if you can just do it right with 3 or 4 things.
Yeah. I mean, water, malted barley, and hops.
There you go.
And then yeast, as they later discovered.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Louis Pasteur.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Exactly.
But if you're doing it well, you're getting a nice amount of flavor. And, you know, with a 4.9, I mean, we've had some beers that are 4.9 and 4.8, and you're just like, where is the beer?
Where's the beer,
It's just water. But, I mean, this proves that you can get really nice flavor with lower ABV.
So who's going to brew the first lactose pilsner? That's what I want to know.
I'm sure it's already happened.
Shut your mouth.
Somebody in Alabama's done that already.
A milk pilsner.
Oh, keep that one away from
me. Welcome, y'all. Come on up here. We got the lactose pilsner today.
Yeah. Milkshake pilsner.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Roll Tide. Here's another one.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well,
but Sean, are you laughing because that's just a little too close to the truth? Is that it?
No. I mean, I'm already thinking, you know, it's one of those, you know, New York Brooklyn breweries that's already done the lactose lager.
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, not throwing, you know, Brooklyn breweries under the bus, but, you know.
There is some crazy stuff coming out of Brooklyn.
Some crazy stuff. Yeah. I mean, as to be expected.
True. Well, the Einbecker Brauerin Pilsner, we are rating a 4.
I think it sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry. It didn't. Well, it did spill on my lap.
Oh, okay. So for the part that spilled,
Who would be making that lactose pilsner in
New York? It is called Breaking the Law.
Oh, my goodness. There you go.
You don't say.
It's a great name.
New Level Brewing. I don't know where they're from. They might be in Germany. No, that can't be.
No.
Breaking the law.
And not to be confused with the newest rage, cold IPA.
Which, dude, I still don't get.
So how is this not an India Pale Lager?
Right. It's because you're drinking with your other hand. That's what makes it, you know, really work well, you know, from a marketing perspective. Mm. Well, I can definitely see this being on the mad scientist line for 6 point. I mean, they really have such a broad range of things that they do on the mad scientist line. And a lot of you don't get to see those beers if you're outside the New York City area. So you probably know 6 point from, like, Resin is their, you know, diehard standard. You
Resin,
know, they have Tiger Claw.
Double Resin, Triple Resin.
Yeah. But the thing is they have this whole mad scientist line that are fresh beers and even cask beers that are available, you know, in the city. And That's some pretty wild stuff, you know, they put on that line. I can definitely see other half, you know, going down that path. And since they already do quite a bit of, you know, lactose-infused yeah. things that shouldn't have lactose in them, you know. I can definitely see them going down the path.
I would almost see like Evil Twin or somebody doing that just because.
No, I can't see Yepa doing that. So
I was thinking other half.
Yeah.
That's when I said Brooklyn Breweries, that was exactly what I was thinking. Really,
you were thinking of Brooklyn Breweries.
yeah.
Brooklyn, you're thinking of
other half.
Breweries and Brooklyn or yes. Brooklyn Brewery.
You're not so. The Brooklyn Brewery. No.
Okay, let's see.
I think Garrett's got a little too much respect for me.
Has he even touched any lactose in that entire line? I don't think so.
That's a good question. Brooklyn,
they might wait till he goes on vacation.
I can't see Single Cut doing it. Yeah.
That new level, they're in Calgary, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah. Well, that explains everything.
Friggin' Canadians.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Let's go to Meschede Gravenstein, Germany.
Sure, yeah.
And Veltins, the 4.8% Pilsner. Even before enjoying fresh Veltins Pilsner, the quality conscious consumer will notice the bright, shiny, golden luster of the premium product in the white and green can. It is
bright
and
shiny.
Bright and shiny and a little watery for me.
Yeah.
It's really clear. I didn't know beer was supposed to be clear.
So, the stark contrast between the other Pilsner that we just had with the Einspecker, this is the hop is forward, you know, in this. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing that you get.
Very yeah. prevalent.
So, all that nice, you know, lovely Pilsner malt, it's like crushed way in the back of the taste profile. This,
I think I like this one because it is at hoppy. In fact, this is the only beer of the flight that I know I've had before. I've had at least a few 4-packs of the Veltin Pils at home, and I enjoy this one because of that big hoppy character that it brings.
It's not creamy. It's kind of you know, I think it's a combination of that bitterness from the hops that it just, from a mouthfeel perspective, something's missing, you know, or it's too abrasive.
It's very fizzy and it tastes kind of like nothing.
Sean said something earlier. This reminds me of some American IPLs because it is so hop forward.
Yeah. I was going to say it's very American for me. You know, than the other Pilsners that we've had, which I guess for some people is a good thing. If you don't like a traditional Pilsner, then this is the way to go.
I would be dumping this if I had made this and I was aiming for a Pilsner, because I would have missed the mark for myself.
I would have been disappointed in myself.
I would have called it a hoppy Pilsner.
Yeah, there you go. I would have changed what I was aiming for.
I just call it something else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I totally meant that. This
is an American Pilsner. There you go.
That's the American part in there.
It's almost like, I wonder if what it's like in Germany or if they have a different one they sell, because this almost feels like it was made for the American market. Like,
this is the one they sell at the hotels and
I think I just heard the brewer's head explode when I said that. Yeah. What did you say? It's not American Pilsner. It's a German Pilsner.
You Americans think you know beer.
Off with his head.
We will make American beer better than American.
No cable TV for you.
But I wonder, do a lot of countries do that? Like, I mean, have a brewery that makes something a little bit more amped up for American customers?
Well, I would definitely say, especially for those, you know, multinational brands like Carlsberg, you know, where they're really trying to make sure that they have a 30-country distribution scheme, you know, they really have to aim for a palate and a taste profile that is really going to span a tremendous, you know, a number of people.
Sure.
I think Guinness is a good example of a brewery that caters or has catered their product to the American market.
Big G definitely, know, has to deal with a very broad range, you know.
Well, also though, like, and I remember specifically from one of the Shelton Brothers events, there was a brewery from England and they had some IPAs and they were like straight up American, like hot forward IPAs.
Was that Cloudwater?
Yes, Cloudwater. 100%. And so I do think that the American craft culture or whatever you want to call it has really influenced probably England more than most other countries. But I do think a lot of other countries, I see their craft breweries do kind of mimic the American taste profile.
Yeah, and I think Grain King and Acorn even make some, you know, hoppy versions and dry hop versions of some of their beer styles.
Yeah, and I was watching a thing in Japan, and they were going around and trying different craft beers made in Japan, and a lot of them were very American style.
I tell you, one of the best beers I had, a craft brewers conference, a brewer from Yokohama Bay visited my brewery, and he dropped off one of his pilsners, and I cracked it up, and it was just on point, unbelievable. Really? It was such a treat. So
very traditional?
Very traditional, yeah. Yeah, I was really impressed.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Cool. See, man, Sean gets all the good stuff.
Not all the time.
I like this one better than everybody else, obviously.
I'm good with that. I mean, majority rules. Call it.
Two. Okay. Well, the Veltins Pilsner from Meschede Gravenstein, Germany, and forgive me, we are going to rate a 2.
You would have got a better score if we could pronounce your city, so just think about that, Veltins.
Maybe.
Fix it.
Guess I need to take German next.
This is America.
Yeah. So, Sean, I think that, that would be the thing. If I was definitely brewing a Pilsner, I would almost plan to dump like 5 recipes, and I would be working the crap out of my pilot system.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, though, is that you've got to wait a good month and a half, two months, if you're going to do the proper lagering process. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. I would probably run 5 recipes and have 5 carboys sitting there, and I would, do them all, because they would all be in the same temperature, set up by doing it that way and making sure that they're all, finishing out, the exact same way, and then I would probably plan on dumping,
Well, we'll be right back with more discussion in just a minute. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone.
Oh, the things you miss when we're at commercial.
It's horizontal beachwood. It's horizontal, right?
Well, I think that's vertical. I think while we were away, Kendall identified what all these beers are missing. There's no beachwood.
No beachwood aging.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You can't make a lager if you don't age it.
Well, we were having, I thought it was a really good discussion because we were, a lot of the lagering setups we've seen, move between fermentation tanks that are horizontal or vertical. And the vast majority of breweries work with vertical, very tall silos.
At least American craft brewers.
Yeah. And
ale producers,
And yet some of the best lager, beers that we know, at least that are made locally, are with, horizontal tanks. Actually, they're dairy tanks that have been repurposed, for the most part.
Short and squat kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some interesting history behind that, because the idea was that they were digging caves to store the beer because the caves would stay cool. Also, they needed to lager means to store. And so, it's easier to dig you know, horizontally than it is to dig vertically. And so that's where a lot of these lager tanks were more horizontal than they were vertical.
Wow.
And then you also look at the fact that over time that yeast is going to self-select because of the conditions that it's in. And so, yeah, and then the other part of that is that those horizontal tanks allow more surface area for the yeast to be in contact with the liquid versus those conical tanks that you normally see in American craft breweries, where that yeast is going to settle down to the bottom and there's only going to be a certain layer of yeast that's going to be really accessible to the liquid that's above it.
Well, and the lager yeast is working on the bottom anyways, right?
Right, so right.
You want it to be more spread out.
Well, yeah. Like Cliff Clavin, you know, score just went up by, you know, another 20 points because I can even distance myself even yet another half foot with people with that completely useless fact. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate
Mike
it.
Was running out of useless trivia to start throwing.
So I think the question I would throw with Timmy were here, you know, because I know that he has horizontal lager tanks where he did, you know, where he was. But I would think that it would be a bigger pain in the butt to clean those out.
Not necessarily. If they're designed right, if you've not converted a dairy tank into it.
Which is what he was working with.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, if they're designed from the get-go, you know, you just put multiple spray balls through the, you know, over the course of the top of the tank. And as long as those spray balls cover all the surface area, it's just a matter of making sure you're pumping
and
through.
And a little bit of incline.
And the incline,
know,
yeah.
It all runs, you know, at least to one corner.
Well, right, and also if some of the people in your brewery have like 8-year-old children, you can push them down into the tank and have them scrub it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, Tim's former employer definitely had that advantage as well. So
hey, kids, who wants to play in the beer cave today? Okay, get out of there.
Don't forget to
fetch.
Don't forget to lock out, tag out.
Put on your special spacesuits. You know.
Wait, where's Mark? Where's Timmy? Where all our children are missing? You know, you know, 6 weeks later, we're down in the lager tank.
Yeah. Don't lick the hop trub.
I mean, you can if you want to, but you're going to learn an important lesson.
Who was the bad little boys to win top of the ball?
If you get stuck in a beer tank, you can drink yourself out. I saw that on Strange Brew.
Rick Moranis proved that beyond a doubt.
I am up to the challenge.
No hosers. Wow.
Well, for those of you just tuning in, today is a German in the can episode.
What were you thinking?
And we've been talking about some different...
Who told you I like it in the can?
We've been talking about some German-style beers from Germany that are in cans. The next one that we are going to discuss is a Kolsch, something a little different than what we've had in the previous segments. This is from Gaffel. It's clocking in at 4.8%. The classic Gaffel Kolsch is particularly fresh. It's a specialty beer from Cologne, brewed according to the time-honored family recipe and the German purity law of 1516 with water, malt, hops, and hops extract. The delicately bitter, pleasant, slightly hopsy taste, oh, that's interesting, is characteristic for this traditional product and clearly distinguishes their Kolsch from other Kolsch brands.
And I would definitely say it's hop-forward.
It's definitely hop-forward for a Kolsch. You usually expect a little more of that malt character all the way through.
Right.
I think that's why I like this one more than most.
Yeah, it starts off down that path, but I think, you know, to me, really great Kolsches have a pop of some citrus, usually lemon off of it, and it has to be a crisp, dry finish. And that would be emblematic of that. I know that this has been lagered and it's finished out dry. Those are two things that are missing here.
It's very soft.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that crisp pop you get.
So I love the choice of the malt and the yeast that they've used here. I just I'm not a fan of how this finished
out. What's a go-to Kolsch? Like I'm trying to think of
Reisdorf.
Okay. What's one that I would have had? Little Kings.
Really? I mean, that's my go-to German. I'm trying to remember if there's any others that are easy to get.
Sierra Nevada makes a Kolsch.
I haven't seen that in a while. There's not a lot of American Kolsches. I mean, here in Nashville, the Chaser Pale from Blackstone is a Kolsch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty traditional.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like comparison points. You know, I know
It's hard because a lot of the German ones you get here are not fresh. So it's really hard to get an idea of what a really good Kolsch is. And I've had so many people say if you drink Kolsch in Cologne, completely different experience.
Yeah, and I could see why.
Well, that's why I'm hoping that these being in the can, it helps a little bit. I mean, it's not going to, you know, if there's been improper storage and time is always against you.
Yeah,
I think beers like this, you know.
If I had to probably pick, I think what has really put this particular beer at peril is time and an interchange of temperature, you know, probably a good 10 times. It tastes like half the beer probably that it was when it came off, you know, the line. Yeah. It just, you know, it's very diminished.
Yeah.
It's just not all there, you know. I'm not particularly a fan of this. And in terms of the style, it's not that the beer sucks. It's just you handed me a Kolsch and I'm drinking something that it's not quite a Kolsch.
It's like a mini Pilsner.
Yeah, it's like a Little Kings.
Well, but then isn't this the beer style that can be ale or lagered? So I guess that depends too. Right. You know what I mean?
It's a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Schlafly always made a decent Kolsch,
yes,
didn't they?
Did. Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
I remember.
When they were still making beer.
Well, there's another brewery there in St. Louis that makes a whole fleet of German-style beers.
Oh, yeah. Urban and Chestnut. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. That's it. They make a really good Kolsch. Yes.
All their German beer, their lagers are just exceptional.
Yeah.
And then I remember there was a German Kolsch in a red can I used to get. I think it was like Restore or something like that.
I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah. But that's really, I mean, you don't see a lot of them out there. Mm. Anyways.
Very disappointing.
People should make more.
We're rating.
Yeah, there's some hand fighting.
That air was everybody putting
there's some hand fighting going on here, folks.
Yeah, so the Gaffel Kolsch from Cologne, Germany, we're going to rate a 2.
Dry.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's fine.
All right. And for what it's worth, according to the date code on the bottom of this, it's supposed to be good until October of 2021.
Negative. No way.
Maybe in some countries.
Wow. Not America.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was a bad beer. It tasted okay to me, and I would drink it. But I'm trying to fix in my mind a really good Kolsch that I've had, and it's been so long that I can't create a comparison point.
I can see the glass that my friend brought back from Cologne from Carnival, but yeah, I can't remember the name of that specific one. And she brought back that beer as well, and it was really tasty. Actually, it was Allison that brought it back.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Allison's yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was, it was really tasty, and it was a very nice treat. And especially to get it served out of the glass. They've got a nice, tall, skinny glass that it is traditionally served out of.
The Stange.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yeah, we have
S-T-A-N-G-E.
A couple of Kolsch glasses.
Well, we, you know, I mean, and I think...
Would that make it a Stange brew?
That's funny.
So, exactly. I loved a little bit of our pre-production conversation that, you know, we have a little bit of time to bleed in here. So Kendall floated, he was like, Mike, what pole lube were you talking about?
Wow. And
so, yeah, I'm like...
You know, just because it's a can show, Mike, I don't...
So
yeah, I was listening to the Winter Beer Show from that just hit, and a little bit about Philadelphia in there.
So, I guess you just had to know the context. So that after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they lubed up all of the light poles so that people would not go up on the light poles, and still there were idiots, you know, that managed to, you know, funnel away. Is that some beaming pride coming off you, Juliana, going, that's my state, man.
That's us.
That's us.
Hey, we're just right all there about on preparation. The front
page, you know, idiots, you know, swinging from the fences.
Little lube never stopped them, right?
Yeah. So I love how
it's always sunny.
But I love how Sean got in the conversation. He was like, no, that's nothing, man. Let me tell you about this venue.
Yeah. So there used to be a place called 328 Performance Hall in Nashville. Unfortunately, it's no longer there. It's now been a great place for shows. A questionable place for shows.
Certain size of shows,
and depending on the act. But if it was an act that was necessarily more on the quiet side, or someone that's more, I wouldn't say artistic merit, but you know, definitely there was a lot more nuance to their music. It was a terrible venue. There were a number of shows that I skipped there because
I never saw any of those shows.
But I had a live sound class when I was attending university, working on my music industry degree, and we were told never grab the pipes that are going across the ceiling because they're all covered in Vaseline to keep people from at punk rock shows from grabbing a hold of them and swinging from those pipes. So
swinging into the pit.
So the part of this whole story that I've had a little more time to think about it, I'm like, how did that conversation come up? Or like,
right.
You know, it's like. So, so last night we had some people that, you know, were swinging from the poles. So here's what I want you to do this week. I got like a 5-gallon bucket of Vaseline, and I want you to go up and lube down all of these pipes.
Or the insurance adjuster saw the show last night, and he encouraged us to put Vaseline on the pipes to keep people off of them.
See, like, I don't know if that would improve your standing with the insurance company. Like, right, it right. almost makes it, you know. Yeah.
It's like they thought they were going to grab a hold of a pipe and they slipped right off. Well,
and, like, yeah. And what happens if some of the Vaseline hits the floor? It's like you've created a hazard now, yeah. You know.
Well, you were mainly dodging beer bottles and beer cans that were on the floor at that venue. So,
who is the pipe luber? Like, is it a special guy that they bring in? He's like,
oh yeah, I've done this before.
And where do you put that on your resume? It's like, so.
I strategically place Vaseline on pipes to keep people from hanging on them.
Jethro, what's your secret skill? I'm a pipe luber.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but from that time period back in Nashville, there were a few places where you could probably find people with that kind of experience.
Well, if you ain't going to hire me, hire my brother Gunther, because both of us together, we're the good lube guys.
Yeah, for those that haven't been to Nashville or haven't been to Nashville for a long time, the ability to give directions based on strip clubs is no longer a thing. You know, it's there used to be a lot of strip clubs that you'd be like, oh, turn right at this place. And, yeah. You know, if you go past into, this.
Yeah. Yeah. If you hit Showtime, you've gone too far.
Right, right. Yep. Yeah.
Which was true in many ways.
Yes.
It's the next tenant that comes along, you know, to use that venue after whatever, you know, is there now. It's like they get up in the ceiling and they're like, wait, what is all this lube doing up here, man? You know, on this pipes. I mean, you know, it's like, where do you start with that? Why is this floor so sticky?
Yeah.
It's a gift boutique with well lubed pipes.
Don't turn on the black light. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, God. Anyway,
I was enjoying it. I thought it was worthy of us talking about that topic.
Mike
today
has never met a lube conversation.
Kendall started it. Yeah. Yeah, Sean kept it going. I just decided to bring it to the show because I was enjoying a conversation. That's all.
The people need to hear this.
That's right. Listen, if you have that on your resume, listen, drop us a line here at info@subsidiousmokes.com. We want to know if your job is a pipe luber. We want to know about it. We'll send some beer to you to say thank you.
I mean, my cousin's a pipe fitter.
Not same thing.
Well, they unless use he lube, uses though.
A lot of lube to fit it.
I mean, how do you have small talk with a conversation with somebody like that at the bar? So what do you do, man? I'm a pipe fitter.
You might have noticed my work at 328 or in Philadelphia.
There you go. Yeah, right.
I always look forward to a good championship win in Philadelphia. You know, that's some good business. You know, that'll give me a good 6 months of salary.
Hey, nobody appreciates pipe fitters until you're spring
right,
elite.
We got one more beer real quick right here.
All right. Last up is going to be from Koenig, and it is going to be their Pilsner, clocking in at 4.9%. Pale yellow in color with floral and citrus aromas.
Great beer. Super solid. I like how it starts. I like how it finishes. The middle's awesome.
Yeah, I think Mike and I have disagreed on most of these beers. Of all the Pilsners we've had, I'd say it's at the bottom of my list.
Same here.
I don't like how it finishes.
Right.
It leaves a,
it's like a little harsh.
It's, yeah, it's, yeah, it's yeah. bitter on the back end.
It's a it's yeah. astringent.
But that's yeah. what Mike likes.
Mm. Yep. I think we got this one.
Okay.
Three.
All right.
We are going to rate the Koenig Pilsner a 3.
Needs more lube.
do better, Koenig. Do better.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us today. A German
in the can.
German beer in the can. Well, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
You know you want to tap that button. Whoa. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry play podcast Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sips, Suds, and Smokes, or Sips, Suds, Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You know, real news or fake news, otherwise. You'll be able to interact with thousands of other fans on those social media platforms.
And do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode. If you're listening to us online, that's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
Straight out of India.
Good boy, Kendall. Thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure. I love it.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining me and my fake German accent today. Come back joining us for another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Sean.
Great to be back again, and hopefully you'll be hearing more of me in the future.
Yay! Good old boy, Dave. Oh, are you sad it's ending?
No.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you later and keep on chuggling.
One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.